There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
You know what also doesn't suck is the weather outside. Pretty fantastic day as we get started on a Friday edition of Midday Mobile. Live local talk over the next hours, and I'm glad you are along. Phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Dr. Bill says this holds on pretty much for probably a four-day run of this pretty weather, maybe a five-day run. Till Tuesday? Yeah, till Tuesday, I think. 76 now and sunny at our studios, and it is fantastic outside. It's a good place to be, too. As we'll talk about, you know, the fight against coronavirus and whether the beaches will be opened up next week, whether the beaches will be opened up the 1st of May here in Alabama. But getting outside where you can, today's a great way to get out and keep yourself healthy, right? Get outside, get a little sunshine, which we'll get into the sunshine thing. We'll get into the light. You know, this is what has a lot of people talking about today. And I got a text earlier for me to play the clip in its context of President Trump talking about the light and getting light into people. This is the clip they were talking about, I believe. This is from yesterday's press conference, or the update there, the nightly briefing. There's the word I'm looking for. And the president talking about some of these reports about sunshine and humidity helping fight coronavirus.
Hit the body with a tremendous, whether it's ultraviolet or just very powerful light. And I think you said that hasn't been checked, but you're going to test it. And then I said, supposing you brought the light inside the body, which you can do either through the skin or in some other way. And I think you said you're going to test that too. Sounds interesting.
We'll get the right folks who could.
Right, and then I see the disinfectant where it knocks it out in a minute, 1 minute. And is there a way we can do something like that by injection inside or almost a cleaning? Because you see it gets on the lungs and it does a tremendous number in the lungs. So it'd be interesting to check that. So that you're going to have to use medical doctors with. But it sounds interesting to me.
As it does to me too. So there it is, kind of getting the clip in context. Listen, I think when the president was saying there's ways to get the sunlight, and he said through the skin, that's accurate. Now, for him to then offer another way, I'm not sure what that other way is, but I was following up to the skin, you know, getting sunshine. I mean, you get vitamin D that way a lot. You get sunshine on your skin. It transmits good things into the system. It could also be bad. And then for the president to then say the other ways, maybe we'll find out how you get light into the body another way. I mean, shot a flashlight, Q-beam down somebody's throat. I don't know. But yeah, so there's the fuller clip, and some of the stuff was taken out of context, but some of the stuff, you know, was contextual. Now, the disinfected inside the system, I think you got the president not using the right word there, you know, for a medicine versus a disinfectant, although you can argue that we do have some not bleach, not, what was it, Lysol came out and said their thing, but what's hydrogen peroxide? You're not supposed to swallow it, but like people have, you know, you put it in the mouth and have oral surgery. Are people doing that anymore? There's probably some new hyped up thing. But you put the hydrogen peroxide in your mouth and spit it out. So, I mean, it's internal. But yes, the president ranged a little too wide on that. And of course, the media was ready to jump on it and make it a side story for today. Well, it's a side story. They want to make a main story. We're not going to do that. But we will talk about it with you at 343-0106. Also, let's talk about some real questions surrounding the fight against coronavirus. We will talk about the funding, additional money for the supplemental for the CARES Act and the PPP. We'll get into that. We'll also talk about the state. You've heard us talk about it before. We talked about it again this morning. Would the state be getting this $1.9 billion check? How the CARES Act, what does that mean for the general fund? We'll talk about that. And then we'll delve into the subject of the effect of coronavirus on buffets. And my buddy John Sharp with AL.com has a story up today. This is the headline that caught me. It caught me off guard, scared me in the change in life. You know, what changes have come to our lifestyle from coronavirus. The headline here, end of the Southern buffet as we know it. Coronavirus upends popular culinary traditions. Coming back after the news break, we will talk to John Sharp and find out more about what kind of dangers coronavirus poses to buffets. I am not liking where this is going. Let me grab a call here before we go to the news. John in Mobile is up first. Hey, John.
Hey, good day. Listen to you every day. I live in Mississippi and commute to Brookley Field every day.
Cool.
We're out here building the new Airbus facility. So,
oh, wow. How's that going? How's that going?
It's going fantastic.
Good deal.
But yeah, I'll be taking the wife today, tonight, to dinner on a beach in Biloxi and have a nice little dinner for two, little food takeout dinner for two on a beautiful night and enjoying the fresh air. It hasn't stopped me. I'm at work every day for 10 hours. But
you and I both.
I love the direction.
Well, thank you. Thank you, John. I mean, and be, you know what, just enjoy the most of your day. You get to be outside during today at your job?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Then
I'm in construction, outside all day long.
There's going to be a lot of days this summer. I'm not jealous of you, John. Today is one of the days I'm jealous of you. So enjoy this one.
Come on over. I'll give you a tour.
All right, good deal. I may take you up on that. That'd be cool. So John checking in. Getting ready to get his weekend's little beachside dining with the missus. Well. All right, but speaking of dining, what if you're a fan of the country buffet, what may be the future of the country buffet in the time of coronavirus or even afterwards? John Sharp from AL.com joins us next to talk more about this. This is getting serious, y'all. Way, way serious when they start messing with my chicken and my mashed potatoes and my salad.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
If the folks at the chamber are listening, whatever chamber, could be Mobile, Baldwin County's, could be any others, Southeast Mississippi, what's up, Northwest Florida, what's up? If you're at a chamber of commerce, y'all owe God and Dr. Bill Williams, send them a calendar or something, sir. This is Chamber of Commerce. When I say Chamber of Commerce weather, y'all, you're looking at it out there right now. And looks like the weekend holds out to be pretty fantastic. Now, that's the positive and cheery news. And I hate to do this because I usually like to start off on a up-tempo positive story when I talk to my buddy John Sharp from AL.com. But you might as well play some very sad music as I get this started and reading John's headline here. End of the Southern buffet as we know it. Coronavirus upends popular culinary tradition. John, say it ain't so.
It is so, but it might not be as tragic as you're making it out to be.
Okay.
There's going to be a change. There's going to be a change, and we really don't, of course, we really don't know the specifics of all the changes yet because we don't know until the final order comes through the Alabama Department of Public Health and Governor Kay Ivey's office, exactly what will be required of restaurants like a Southern buffet or a Chinese buffet or whatever you might want to, you know, what other venues like that. So we really don't know the specifics yet, but you know, expect some sort of changes. The days of, especially while this virus is still out there and it's still a concern, the likelihood of restaurants opening the doors back open and people walking up to their buffets and touching the same handles spoon handles as other people have been touching probably isn't advised and probably will not happen for a while. And so there are going to be changes, yes. Just freely walking up to a buffet line is probably going to be a temporary thing of the past. Will it come back? That's open for debate. But right now, we're looking at most likely with your popular Southern buffets, you're looking at most likely a cafe-style type of service.
Okay. Now, I have my ideas about little mini buffet carts that go by the tables. I've had that idea since reading your article. I had ideas to have everybody have separate serving implements, whether they be tongs or ladles or whatever, to go up. But I realize what's going on right now. But the second part of what you said and what you're writing about, that scares me. What? I get it. There's a lot of changes happening right now. But let's say we go to, you know, we're back to work in the state of Alabama. The governor's, you know, talking about beginning of May, end of April, beginning of May. We're back to work. People are going to work. You're saying at that point, we're still in this not full, we're not in buffet mode. There's no regular Southern buffet going on at the restaurants.
And most likely, you're not going to be in full buffet mode. I'd be very surprised if the governor signals, hey, everybody can head over to your buffet. It's going to be just like it was. I mean, it's like almost anything else, you know, especially in the restaurant industry, there's going to be some sort of change. And, you know, some of the buffet owners that I talked to for this story indicated that they were, you know, in the process of preparing for these changes, that they are looking at a situation where a employee will handle the will provide the basically provide the food for you. I mean, they would go to the buffet themselves. They would take your order. They would go to the buffet and provide the portions, I guess, and bring it back to the table. So you would physically not walk up to the buffet yourself, but it would be an employee doing the serving in very much a cafe style type of format. Now, you know, I did talk to the Stagecoach Cafe, which is a popular place up in Stockton.
You got that right.
And, yes, Joyce Overstreet, great lady. I talked to her on the phone. She told me that, you know, they were practicing this already before the shutdowns all occurred in March. And she said, you know, there was some folks fussing at her, but she said that, you know, we did our best to, you know, to provide the type of portions that people would expect or want to get themselves through the traditional buffet format. So it's just going to take a little bit of patience for everyone to get used to some of these changes. But, depending on how long this pandemic goes, some of these restaurants might get used to a new way of doing things, and it might be difficult to go back. And that's kind of what I touched upon in my story on whether or not, you know, and some of them acknowledge that could be the reality as well. It could just be the end of doing it this way. You know, buffets over the years have caught some criticism for, you know, maybe a lack of sanitary.
Yes.
You know, the implementation of the sneeze guard was a big change years ago. So, and most of them have them now, or I wouldn't say all of them do, but you see them a lot anymore when you go to a buffet. You see a plastic guard of some sort over the food, which definitely is a welcome change, I think.
But, I agree.
You know, what will it be like going forward? Just, you know, it's like a lot of other things with this whole very fluid story. We don't know.
Hey, speaking of fluid story, so no self-service drinks either, fountain drinks over there or sweet tea?
Probably not, no. I would assume that, you know, the waiters or the waitresses at these restaurants will be working harder than they have before, whereas in the past, you know, depending on the buffet you go to, they'll come out and get your drink for you while you go up to the buffet and get as much helpings of food as you want. But I would imagine now that the waiters and waitresses will be working much harder at these buffets. They'll be doing both food duty and drink duty as we can safely expect.
But okay, so going forward, by the way, I mean, you're mentioning, if y'all go check out the story, I linked it through on my Twitter feed because you'll see a buffet picture. I will say that there's a spectrum when it comes to buffets, and you talk about the sanitation issues or keeping that even before this. There are some places where, and maybe it's something as silly, and I'm silly like that, when people spill one kind of food into another food thing that I don't want either of them. I don't like, they're adulterated. I might even like both of the foods that one was spilled in the other, but then I don't want that one. Or to the other extreme, you know, there's some that are very had not kept up well. And, but there's some that are like immaculate, right? There's some buffets that are immaculate. They're coming behind folks all the time. But one of the things that people do with a buffet, I think, is probably get more food than they're going to eat. So maybe the silver lining for some of these restaurants is, you know, the portions will be controlled better. There won't be the wasted food. But also, what will people be eating this out in the parking lot or when we open back up and have the, you know, 50% capacity? I mean, how is that going to work? Are they talking about doing this now when you got to take it out and sit outside and eat it or take it away? Or are they talking about doing this once we get back open to some limited capacity in restaurants?
Each restaurant will probably handle this differently and to the best that they can do it to their own you know, satisfaction or logistics or however you want to call it. You know, some restaurants are much larger inside than others. You know, I was talking to one of the buffet owners, and they indicated that they were really concerned about a lot of the mom and pop restaurants in throughout the area where they're, you know, very tight inside. The seating is very tight, and how are they going to accommodate, you know, keeping distances, safe distances, once they reopen? It's going to be a challenge for some of those restaurants. But when you talk about some of these larger buffets, restaurants, like Stagecoach, or Barry's Barbecue up in Boaz, I talked to the owner up there, and he'd indicated to me that, you know, they're not going to have people sitting in their waiting area. They're going to have, basically what they'll do is they'll have enough seating that'll be spread out throughout the restaurant, and people will be kept at a distance. They'll keep parties down to a limited number, and people that are can't, you know, if the tables are all filled up inside, those will be at, the people that traditionally be sitting in the waiting room will be sitting out in their car, and then that they'll buzz or call the people into the restaurant once a seat is available or a table is available for them, and so it's going to be different strategies depending on, you know, the interior space of a restaurant, you know, the how the layout's going to change, and so on and so forth. You know, Stagecoach is going to spread their tables out. There's going to be no salt and pepper shakers on the tables, and so, you know, there's going to be changes for everyone when you go back to these restaurants. And again, you know, there could be even further changes depending on what the next health order might say. We just don't know yet exactly what that's going to be. I think that's been part of the frustration, you know, wanting to know a little bit, you know, some of these businesses want to know a little bit more so they can get prepared for the eventual reopening. And I think that's, you know, some of them are taking these steps right now. They're marking off 6 feet distances for where people can stand in line at the checkout counter and that sort of thing. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to hear, you know, kind of some of the strategies that are going on, but it's going to be different from one restaurant to the next. There's no one size fits all in any of this.
Right. There's going to be different for different restaurants and different by advisories, like you said. And I wonder, you say, well, this may be the new future. If we beat this back and this is not part of, you know, we're not in an active fight against coronavirus, you still think that there'll be advisories like this to limit that kind of interaction at a buffet? I mean, you think if we're not that we're in any code of anything, but we're a stay-at-home order. Say we come out of a stay-at-home order to a light advisory or whatever they would call it. We're not back to normal with the restaurants. We're still doing these things?
Yeah, I would imagine for the, you know, until there is a vaccine or until there's, you know, some sort of advancement in the medical sciences to address coronavirus, that we're going to have, you know, everything I've read or have heard in the last month has indicated that, you know, we're going to have these social distancing it's going to be part of our daily lives, and so the restaurants certainly are going to take every step that they can to make sure that their employees and that their customers are safe. And I would assume, you know, and the buffet line is going to be one of those places. And how are we going to move forward with that? And certainly, that's the owners of these restaurants. They're the experts. They know what they're doing, and they're trying to digest as much information as they've been getting on this.
Digest.
And it changes all the time. And, you know, they're doing their best right now. I mean, again, we could have a whole set of different orders. Yeah, interestingly, this isn't a buffet, but it is definitely a favorite restaurant of a lot of people, especially visitors to this area. But I talked to the general manager at Lambert's Cafe in Foley, And, you know, the question is, are you going to be throwing rolls in the future? I mean, these are questions that come to my head. I'm like, what's going to happen? You know, what's going to be allowed? It's going to be interesting to see how the health orders address a lot of these things and whether or not some of our popular culinary traditions will be affected going forward.
Yeah, it's going to be drone-delivered rolls. The drone will come out and drop them right into your hand or something like that. It's going to be it'll be something to watch. Kids will be like, I want to go there to watch the drones. Hey, when we come back, I want to talk something that I've been thinking about. You put into words here in a piece over at AL.com about the it really is a switch between the lieutenant governor and the governor, or it's a timeline thing, as, you know, it's now Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth calling for getting the state back opened and the governor wanting to keep it closed, where, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks ago, it was Ainsworth calling, you know, Ainsworth wanted to close the state down. The governor was not doing it fast enough. So we'll talk about that more coming up with John Sharp from AL.com. And yes, thank you. I mean, we are getting huge heaping helpings of text on the text line about buffets. And a little discussion here on fried chicken. I got to tell you, if you go look at the pictures in John's story, and it's painful to look at it and think about the Stagecoach fried chicken when I'm so far away from it. I'm a county away from it. But, oh, my gosh, fried chicken there. Holy cow. All right, listen to the news, dream about fried chicken, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Talking with my friend John Sharp from AL.com. And John, got a lot of suggestions here on the text line. Most of them focused around what you do about throat rolls. We've got Eric with the idea of the roll cannon. Roll cannon, I guess, would fire the roll across the restaurant. It would then go land right on the plate, maybe, of the person getting the roll.
That's a good idea. Again, you know, we have some forward-thinking students in some of our school systems around here, especially those who are very tech-savvy and very intelligent students that are involved in robotics teams. So maybe we can have a robot built to handle this throat roll issue. But all seriousness, though, Lambert has every intention of still having the throat rolls. It's just that obviously the waiters and waitresses will have gloves on. The question is whether or not they'll be required to have masks as well.
Right.
So we just don't know yet.
Right. And listen, I don't think that having gloves on is going to bother anybody. That's fine. You know, that's fine. That one may stick around. We may do more of that. I mean, I think that's I feel better. See the gloves, the mask. I don't know. The mask, I think people have a more visceral reaction to the mask than they do the gloves for some reason. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I agree. Especially, it depends on the type of atmosphere you have in your restaurant, too. I mean, if you have this comforting family vibe at your restaurant, you want to have people walking around with masks on. I mean, you know, we get it. We should. I mean, we're in the middle of a public health pandemic. But, you know, going forward, though, when you start moving out of this thing, you know, how far is too far? And that's a real challenge.
Right. Mentioned before we went to the break, your story. This is you've put into words here something that we've been bouncing around on the show. At least it felt like it to me that what Lieutenant Governor Ainsworth was saying a month and something ago is now what Governor Ivey's saying, and vice versa. Now here at the end of April, right? I mean, it was Ainsworth early on calling for the stay at home and shutdown and all those things, and now he wants to let it go, and the governor's taking that position now to keep it closed.
Yeah, it's almost like a total role reversal, and it revolves around a whole question of public health versus the economy. Now, obviously, the lieutenant governor and the governor aren't going to say, I'm all for the economy, I'm not for the public health. I mean, it's not like you take one side or the other,
right?
But it just seems like the public posturing between the two is totally flipped. Lieutenant Governor Wills Ainsworth led a task force along with Representative Danny Garrett that released about a week ago, I think it was a week ago today, released their recommendations that were very much suggestive of that we need to reopen portions of the economy right away. And the governor came out Tuesday, and she did not follow up on any of that. Her comments and were very much on the public health side of things, still concerned that we aren't testing enough in Alabama, and seems much more hesitant of reopening the economy than governors in other southern states have indicated. So it's kind of where we're at right now with that. Whereas a month ago, the governor was, could be argued, that was a little hesitant towards a stay-at-home order, when a lot of other governors throughout the country were pushing for, or were already moving in that direction. And, you know, her comment was that we need to balance public health and the economy before we jump in with both feet on that. So, yeah, definite role reversal.
Yeah, I mean, you can argue that she has the luxury of looking what happens in Georgia, right, and making a judgment there whether she was right or wrong. But, yeah, there's a portion of Alabamians, no matter which way she decides on it, that are going to be unhappy. But I guess it's borne out in the number of cases. I mean, we have the federal guidelines for the gates and phases here. We have some states going beyond that, some states doing less than that. But I think the frustration, when you look at a Georgia or Tennessee loosening that, or maybe even Florida, that if you're a business owner selling whatever widget it is, and you're on your side of the border, and you're closed down because of this order, then the place across the line over in Georgia opens up that sells the same widget, and heck, there's people from Alabama, your normal customers, are going over there and mingling anyway. You know, what's the point of having it shut down in Alabama? It's not like those people wouldn't come back. They could pick it up and bring it right back with them.
Right. You're exactly right. That's part of the frustration here. And you're hearing it from your congressmen. You're hearing it from your mayors. They want to see portions of the economy reopened. And, when that occurs is unknown yet, because, you know, the governor has pretty well held firm to her April 30th reopening.
You know, you point this out in your story, and this is something that I noticed, that the governor impanels commissions, has task force, whatever the semantics are, asked for the opinion of the federal delegation from the House and what they think for reopening. And overall, it seems like beyond the lion's share, I mean, almost to a T, they're all saying, hey, reopen the economy. And then she's going the complete different way. She has a right to do that, and we can argue whether it's a right choice or wrong choice, but like to go ask all these people to give her opinions and they all come back one way and then she goes the other way seems strange.
Well, you know, she's sticking to her original position. That was to wait till April 30th. And so you can't tell her that she's, you know, wavering from where she came from. But yeah, you're here.
So why do you impanel people to tell you their opinion if you're
That's true. It would be nice, you know, if there was like an update, a public update on where we're at right now with regards to all those recommendations. We haven't gotten that yet. And, I thought perhaps maybe today we might hear something, but I haven't seen any notice pop up on my email that there would be a press conference or an update. So it seems to me that, you know, we'll hopefully get more information early next week on exactly where things are headed. I know, you know, some of the frustration, especially from the lawmakers in this area, when you talk to them, is that, you know, in their conversations with some of these business owners, is that they need time to prepare. Like we mentioned earlier with these restaurants, you know, they're staking out 6 feet areas where people can stand in that, but there's, you know, they're kind of going off on their own best guesses. There's no directive that they should do that yet. So, there definitely is some preparation that needs to be done in order to reopen a business.
As we're delving into sacred cows in Southern culture, we talked about buffets, and that's got to be worried. But something you and I talked about during the news break, and this is just our personal chat here, but you're having it on Twitter. You're a big football fan, college football fan like I am. What do you think we're looking at this fall? I mean, when's the drop date? When do we finally have to be clear or way reduced with coronavirus or COVID cases for them to say, okay, we can get this season launched? Does it have to be by August? Does it have to start by September? I mean, what's your feeling on this?
Well, that's a good question. I think when the shutdowns began, the organizations that really took the lead in being very aggressive with regards to the public health issues and just ending things was your professional sports leagues, the NHL, the college NCAA with college basketball. And so, you know, we saw all that was moving long before, maybe a week or two before our businesses started shutting down. So they seem to be a little bit more cautious. Obviously, they don't want to have, they don't want to bring a big, huge crowd of fans into, you know, 100,000 fans into a stadium, and when there's still this concern of this virus out there. So I'm skeptical that we're going to see football like we saw it last year or in any other previous year. So how it's going to look is, you're asking the wrong guy. I'd just be speculating. But you know, I am skeptical that, you know, it's going to be done before sellout crowd at, you know, Brian Denny or Jordan Hare. I mean, I just am very skeptical about that. Now, I will say that I thought the NFL did a tremendous job with the draft yesterday. I thought
you liked that virtual draft.
I enjoyed it. Yes.
You liked seeing into the homes of all the draftees and see what.
Yes and no, but there wasn't that noise. I always thought the draft is kind of an overhyped, overstuffed production, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. And so it was kind of nice to see, you know, the breakdown, the focus, the kind of the back and forth discussions that were going on. I enjoyed it. I mean, I really did. It didn't have the noise that it has had in the past. Now, other people might feel different. That's just my opinion. Sporting events are going to take on a different look, I think, this year. I mean, Major League Baseball is talking about how it's going to re-enter itself into the season. So that'll be interesting.
What is the status of that? Because I am, like, not the best baseball fan, and I don't know much about baseball. But MLB, players want to play and the owners don't want to pay, right? I mean, I get that.
Yeah, that's the struggle right now. But they're looking at having the games that, from last I had seen, is that they were looking at several states to host the season. So you wouldn't have, for instance, the Atlanta Braves would not be playing in Atlanta this year, or the Chicago Cubs would not be playing at Wrigley, but they'd be playing potentially at their spring training locations, either in Arizona or Florida. Smaller venues, potentially either small or no crowds at all, just playing the games. And it would be broadcast on television for people to watch. So that could be, that's been in discussion for a while, I don't know. I have not seen anything finalized on that. I know there was some dispute between players and owners, which that's baseball. That's the history of baseball for you right there. But, you know, it's, you know, how would they be paid this year when they're playing before, before nobody? And, you know, the owners are going to be taking a huge hit in revenue, and it's a big issue. There still are several proposals out there, and, you know, right now we'd be almost a month through the season. So, time is ticking.
Well, that's for sure. And before we wrap, John, I want to say this from the bottom of my heart. And I know all of my coworkers, our friends here at FM Talk 106.5, thank you for your beautiful tribute to Rennie Bradner. That was, of course, posted at AL.com. People checked out over the weekend in the paper. It means a lot to us, the time you took and the stories you told there. So thank you very much from all of us.
Well, I certainly think that. Thank you, Sean. I certainly think that the Moon Pie Minute's a fantastic addition to the Mardi Gras tradition.
Yeah, and we're, you know, it's I won't be able to hear one again in my life and not think about that man. And you let a lot of people know about our friend, our coworker, and his contributions. It does mean a lot. So thank you very, very much for that. And I do appreciate it. And I'm speaking for all of us here. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean.
All right. That's John Sharp. By the way, people want to follow you and maybe even talk some college football. I know there's a bunch of other stuff you talk about there, but if they want to talk some college football, how they find you on Twitter?
Yeah, at John Sharp 99. Great day for Alabama yesterday. And now a lot of drafts. And these NFL teams are smart. Let's put it that way.
Yes, and cannot wait to see the local stores when they're open back up, how much Miami Dolphins merchandise shows up.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Definitely. So there's going to be a lot of Dolphin fans in this state.
Yeah, I think I already got one in my house. My wife was singing the Miami Dolphins song last night. It was strange. Thank you, man. We'll talk soon.
All right, Sean. Thanks.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 12:52, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, or Midday Mobile. One of those shows, the alliteration gets me every time. Yeah, this one's the Midday Show. Let's check in with my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Help me out of this, Angelo. Help me out.
Sounds like you're having one of those days today, Sean.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention that one thing we do here at Mobile Bay Coins, we buy and sell gold and silver every single day. And I'd like to encourage people to give us an opportunity to purchase your items. I want to keep as much money as we can. Keep it here in town. Keep it local.
You know, and somebody was commented on the text line today. He said, you know what, we're always talking about being in this together, Sean, and when we're supposed to be separate. And I said, well, maybe, you know, togetherness means supporting one another even if you can't be there. And there's, you know, I talk about it, the number of jobs in small business is the leading employer in the country, small businesses over medium and big businesses. But also, these are the dollars that go right back in the community, and these are the dollars that give y'all choices and variety in places to shop and services to have. So, yeah, it is. It's important. It's real important to be borne out here over the next few weeks, what will happen over the next few years.
Well, it's interesting to me because you look at what comes into our shop and the people that come in here and they're spending money here. They're getting money from us when they're selling their gold jewelry. Maybe they're selling their sterling flatware. And then they've gone out and celebrated at Osmond's Restaurant or celebrated downtown at Noge's or wherever. Not today, unfortunately, but in better times they were. They were taking that extra windfall of cash and spending it within our zip code. It was great.
It is great. And reminder, like you said, you're open for gold and silver, which, by the way, where's gold and where's silver today?
Gold is starting to run up again. Right now it's about $1,725. That's $1,725. Silver is hovering around $15.20 an ounce right now. So if somebody's thinking of selling, better prices than it was last year. If somebody's thinking of buying and they're worried about people running out of stock, I've got plenty of gold and silver in stock and ready to put into your hot little hand.
I like that. And remind folks, those great gift items as well are still available. People can look at those through your website.
Yeah, Mother's Day is coming up. There's always birthdays and other special occasions. Go to mobilebaycoins.com, click on the shopping button, then click on the link to our eBay store. I know that's a little awkward, but hey, you can still get your shopping done. We ship stuff out Monday through Friday, and we'll get it to you quick as can be.
All right, and remind people, too, how to find you in person if they're coming for gold and silver.
Yeah, in the real world, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. And if you've got concerns, call us at 725-1590, and we'll meet you at the curb.
Thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. To John, I was talking to him during the break. A strange thing, and I don't know how to get my head around it right now. I know we're not the first family and friends to have dealt with this, but you know, we just had the funeral today for Rennie Brabner, and had the wake that was a waving wake. I would use it. This term is going to seem coarse, but I think it's descriptive of what happened. It was a drive-through wake. And we would, in our vehicles, we would go by, and you were at distance from the family. You had you did get a, you know, you get a program there or whatever you call it, that, you know, that talks about Rennie and talks about all the facts and all that. You were handed one of those, and then you stayed in your vehicle and talked to the family. You know, our natural reaction, I think, is, for me, I don't think, I know, is to go hug on a neck and shake a hand and put a hand on a shoulder and those kind of things, right? That's what family and friends are all about. And what's going on right now, you know, there's so many stories surrounding the fight against coronavirus, but this one, for people that have lost loved ones during this, is not being able to go sit down in a chair next to a family member or a friend and listen to them and be there for them. It is... I feel frustrated right now, saddened by it, still not being able to truly put it in perspective because I have nothing to work off. You know, I have no prior experience with this. And like I said, I know we're not the only ones. There's plenty of people every day that are going through this. But it is something to keep those families in your prayers as well that are going through this, because going by and saying something and waving and being there is one thing. But there's times like this is when you want big family close together, or the family you choose, your friends, to be there, be alongside, and physically close, not distant. So it's a very different thing going on out there. So keep all those families and friends in your prayers out there, because it is a very different experience there, and one that right now does not seem full circle. And maybe there's other people who experience it differently. Maybe in a week or so, I will feel like, okay, well, that was fine. That was, you know, that was, that's what we, you know, that's what we needed to do. We were there. But sitting here on the day, just a couple hours after we did that today, it doesn't feel that way. Still doesn't feel that way. All right. Coming up next hour, I want to set up what we're going to do next hour, because I've got something I got to do here for the radio station. But I am, if you missed John Sledge on the show earlier this week, John Sledge, author, historian, great just advocate for Mobile and our history. He joined me earlier in the week, and we talked about the coronavirus versus what the yellow fever pandemics were like, or epidemics were like, in our area. They weren't pandemics, they were epidemics in our area, and how Mobile navigated that. And there were many of them to navigate in our history. And we'll talk about that and some history of our area when we return with the encore presentation of Midday Mobile. Remember, always online at fmtalk1065.com. You can check us out at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And coming up soon, Dalton and I are going to figure out how to do something on TikTok. But I think we have to dance or sing there, which would not be good for getting followers to that. So forget about the TikTok right now. Just check us out, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.